Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line this morning is Lahav Harkov, who is the diplomatic correspondent at the Jerusalem Post. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I'm going to ask you your question, your view on the flag march a little bit later. But before we do that, let's just talk about the fact that there is this new government. It is diverse. It's just incredible, I think. It's absolutely incredible to see. The question, of course, is, will it last? Does it signify a new era? Or is this really just about moving the Netanyahus aside and moving on to something new?
Look, its first mission definitely is to get rid of Netanyahu. You know, he's been prime minister of Israel for the past 12 years. And over the past 2 years and four elections, he was unable to form a stable government. A majority of the Knesset felt that it was time to give someone else a chance, including three different right-wing parties that are in this new coalition. Whether it actually has a chance to be stable, it remains to be seen, because in the end, the glue that brought them together was feeling that Netanyahu was no longer fit to be prime minister. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you don't have much else, it is hard to maintain. Now, the parties in the government say that there are immediate challenges that Israel's facing that they mostly agree on and can face together. Including sort of post-COVID challenges. Unemployment is relatively low in Israel compared to most of the world, and in South Africa, certainly. But it is twice as much as it was before the pandemic, for example. You know, there's a lot of small businesses that closed and things like that. So economic recovery, recovery for Israel's health services, which performed excellently during the pandemic, but are now in, you know, in an economic crisis. They need new funding. They need new restructuring. So they're trying to be very focused on a domestic agenda. Of course, this is the Middle East, and even if you want to focus on a domestic agenda, the outside world ends up coming to knock on your door, mm-hmm. as we saw a month ago with the fighting between Israel and the terrorist groups in Gaza. So that could be disruptive. I think also, you know, they're going to pass, or they plan to pass an initial budget. The law in Israel says a new government has to pass one within 100 days. But it could be that by the time the next budget runs comes around and they've dealt with the sort of immediate issues, that the disagreements will come out. And the other challenge is that Netanyahu is going to constantly be putting pressure on them, especially the right-wing parties in the coalition, as opposition leader.
Can Netanyahu do a lot of damage? He certainly isn't coming across as very gracious or statesmanlike at the moment. That, to me, weakens his position. That said, does he still have strong enough support that he can challenge this government?
The Likud was the most popular party in the last election. They won 30 out of the Knesset's 120 seats. And Netanyahu consistently polls as most fit to be prime minister in public opinion polls. So he still holds a lot of sway on the right. And Naftali Bennett, the new prime minister, is right wing. Mm. That in theory would be his base of votes, where he would be seeking to get votes. And so I think that Netanyahu is able to do sort of political damage and destabilize this government. They're going to have to be very strong and try very hard to ignore Netanyahu if they want the government to work.
How's Bennett going to manage, in terms of the Islamist Party, how's he going to manage some of the reputational, the past that he has in terms of some of the statements he has made? Some of it's been misquoted. We know that. That's always going to happen. But is he able to balance this very, very fine line?
Look, they're already in the government. You know, the kinds of statements people say Bennett made and statements that he has actually made, he made them and they knew it and they still joined the government. So that's, you know, to begin with, they've already figured it out. They've played that balancing act. I think, you know, the things that the Ra'am party, the Islamist party in this coalition want, have a lot to do with the Bedouins in the Negev who live in these sort of shanty towns almost that they established themselves that are not officially recognized by the government. And this has been sort of an intractable problem for decades. I have trouble believing that this government will solve it, but I guess if any government can, it would be the one that has the buy-in of the political party that represents those Bedouins.
Absolutely. Do you think that the flag march today is going to represent the first major challenge for the government, or will this just go ahead and become something, you know, a little bit of a storm in a teacup?
Look, I think it is the first challenge for the government, no matter what the result ends up being, because they have to take this on, you know, and they have to be prepared for any scenario. And I wrote about this. You can see it on jpost.com. Mm-hmm. And they're not super prepared, or let's just say they're relying on the preparedness of the professional levels, whether it's the police, whether it's the Shin Bet, which is the internal security agency, you know, the sort of diplomats in the foreign ministry who realize that there are certain foreign leaders, certain foreign countries that view this as a provocation, because there hasn't been enough time for the politicians to formulate any kind of new policy.
So in your view, should this go ahead, or should this have been further delayed?
I don't think it's my place to decide one way or another. You know, I'm a news reporter.
Right, right.
You know, I see the risks and the benefits. Certainly as someone who's a writer, I believe very strongly in freedom of expression. And this is a form of that. But I also, you know, you can hear what Hamas is saying, and you can hear what other leaders of, you know, the Palestinians are saying about it. So you can also understand why people need to do some kind of risk assessment about it.
It's really, really fascinating. And it is interesting to see from our listeners, many of whom are based here in South Africa, very, very supportive of the flag march. And one, somebody saying, how's it different to any other sovereign country waving its own flags? It's not that the connection will be lessened in any way without the march. It's about the fact that Israelis should not have to avoid celebrating their own country and their capital in order to appease terrorist entities openly seeking to annihilate them. I mean, of course,
A lot of Israelis feel that way too. That you certainly hear that a lot in Israel. Look, the difference between Washington D.C. I heard that you had read a letter before you called me on. The difference between Washington D.C. and Jerusalem is that there isn't really a land dispute over Washington D.C. I mean, yes, there is an indigenous population that was cleansed from Washington D.C.,
exactly.
But there is not a contemporary dispute over it. In Jerusalem, there is a contemporary dispute. I think the question is more, how should Israel treat that dispute, whether Israel should be fully exercising its sovereignty. And certainly Israeli law grants the government full sovereignty in all of Jerusalem.
Absolutely. And that's where we leave it. Lahav Harkov, diplomatic correspondent at the Jerusalem Post. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us today. Fascinating conversation.